When hope turns to despair.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. For weeks, the talk on Wall Street has been about the Fed cutting interest rates. A quarter point cut at the December meeting was a no-brainer. Had to have it. Credit markets have been like ice since the collapse of subprime mortgages. But when the Fed delivered a quarter point cut yesterday, the market puked. Why? Well, some had been hoping for a larger cut in that key overnight lending rate. There was also hope of a bigger cut in another rate, the one the Fed charges banks when they borrow. Let's bring in Jamie Chisholm of the Financial Times. Jamie, markets seem unconvinced the Fed's doing enough to fix the credit crunch, but you're reporting the Fed has something up its sleeve.
Well, we have in our paper a story which suggests that the Fed recognizes that people are still concerned about the credit crunch, and they are looking, we believe, to introduce a new facility which will fundamentally overhaul the way it provides liquidity to the financial markets.
So when we say liquidity, what we're really talking about is the Fed injecting cash into the financial system.
Well, the thing is, the discount window is it holds a bit of a stigma. This is where banks can go to the Fed if need be. They pay in a slightly penal rate, and they can borrow from the Fed. We understand that the Fed are going to look to introduce a new facility which will allow various banks, institutions to come with various types of collateral and borrow money in a slightly more anonymous way.
What is the hope then? That the banks will take advantage of this and that this will somehow relax what we're calling the credit crunch?
Well, exactly. I mean, at the moment, the fear is that the Fed is prepared to lend money. But what is happening is that the money's there, but it's not getting through the veins to the arteries. It's not flowing into the overnight market. What we're seeing is the markets are very sclerotic, to continue a sort of medical analogy. And what they're trying to do, they want to try and get the flow of blood through the banks into the places they need to go. And they're aware this needs to be done. So this is what this facility is intended to try and do.
Jamie Chisholm is Deputy Markets Editor for the Financial Times in London. Jamie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
No problem.
The no-confidence vote on the Fed sent the Dow down nearly 300 points yesterday to 13,432. The S&P and the NASDAQ each gave back about 2.5%. Stocks in Asia and Europe were down in sympathy. But the story on the Fed's liquidity plan has pushed stock futures higher, so the markets could recover about half of yesterday's losses right at the opening bell. To Italy, where truck drivers have been on a nationwide strike since Monday. Low pay, high taxes, those are the issues. The shutdown is costing the food industry alone more than $300 million a day. As Megan Williams reports from Rome, it's also beginning to bring Italy to a grinding halt.
Shoppers this morning in Rome are frustrated.
Che vedo, niente frutta, niente verdura, scaffali vuoti, vuoti.
Scaffali vuoti. Empty shelves. That's what this shopper found in the produce section of his downtown supermarket. Outside, the streets are also a little empty of cars. With truckers blocking major highways, gas is now in short supply. Handwritten signs saying finita, finished, cover most pumps. Police are now patrolling stations that still have gas left to help keep order in the long lineups. Most strikers are from small operations and are protesting what they call excessive tariffs and taxes, low pay, and lack of government support, especially compared to the highly subsidized rail system. As the strike rolls into its third day, Italians and its leaders are learning just where the truck stops. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNY Mellon Wealth Management.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Here's a surprise. More than two-thirds of all college students say they've had sex in the last year. Many of them have also had access to cut-rate birth control pills through college clinics. It's been a sweet deal for drug companies, too. They've had a direct line to new users. But a new twist in the law is changing that relationship. Caitlin Carroll reports on what happens when the price of the pill gets too high.
It's dinner time, and students from the Claremont colleges file into a wood-paneled dining hall to load up their plates. But first, they face women with clipboards.
Hey, do you want to sign our petition about the rise in cost of birth control on college campuses?
These words are echoing across college campuses as prices for birth control pills skyrocket. Some students who are paying $5 or $10 a pack are now paying up to $50. That can be a lot of money for women like senior Angela Chen.
For someone else, $40 a month is not that much money, but when you kind of are only relying on your savings, $40 is actually a lot.
Pharmaceutical companies can give what are considered safety net clinics drugs at a discount. But college clinics, among others, lost their safety net status as part of a government spending law that took effect this year. Director of the American College Health Association, Mary Hoban, wants the discounts back.
We're simply asking for the ability for that pharmaceutical company to continue to offer a discount that they've been offering for a number of years.
About 17 years, to be exact. Congress tightened the safety net criteria because of concerns that drug companies were using the discounts to market products at big hospitals. When pills were cheap, clinics could easily mark up the price a few dollars and use that money for other services. Hoban says some clinics now face shortfalls of up to $150,000 a year.
These campuses either have to find another source of revenue or cut back on programs and services or increase the price for those programs and services.
At Pomona College in Claremont, students want school officials to help pay for their prescriptions. Student body president Elspeth Hilton says if they don't, students will go to clinics in poor neighborhoods where the pill is still cheap.
There are so many communities that are not very wealthy, but they have a very wealthy college within it. And to have those wealthier students taking away the resources at nearby clinics, I think, has a really big impact on the whole community.
The House and Senate are considering measures that would give clinics their discounts back. Changes are expected by the end of the year. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.